Hey, we're back on Downtown. It's time for Message in the Bottle. Brought to you by Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, 86 Hammond Street in downtown Bangor. Eric Meehan joining us on the telephone. Hello, sir.
Well, hi. I just can't get enough of you, Rich.
Thank you.
You know. Thank you for that. It brings me back to a greater time in my life, which was a couple days ago.
Yeah, you got to see Depeche Mode in concert again. How was it?
It was great. It was great. You know, this is our fifth time seeing them, my wife and I. And, although it was funny because afterwards she actually told me how old they are, which, given relative ages, it made sense. But, I was like, you kind of look at them, you're like, oh, yeah, I mean, if Jagger's still out there doing it, of course these guys are. And then you're like, Jagger's like 25 years older than these guys.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
So, oh, my gory. But it was great. They, they put on a great show, and the crowd is so appreciative. You know, it's really fun being part of, I forget which video I saw a million years ago, but it was whoever it was saying, like, you don't understand what it is to look out into a crowd and have, you know, tens of thousands of people singing your words back to you. And that's all Depeche Mode concerts are at this point, you know, because a bunch of people are just like us, away from their children and just like, you know, letting it all out. And it was really cool. So,
all right. I have to ask about this as part of your journey, though. But please tell me more about Duck in a Can.
Oh, yeah. Well, so I highly advise anybody to check out this place. I discovered, as so many have, by via Anthony Bourdain, the late, great Anthony Bourdain, a place called Au Pied de Cochon. And they specialize in foie gras, which is okay by me. But they have this thing, yeah, duck in a can, and it's essentially this preserved duck breast and foie and cabbage and brown butter. And they steam it, and then they put the label on right before they bring it out, and they open it up, and they put it on a piece of toast with a celeriac puree. And it's, you know, it's just this big mess of decadence. No other way of putting it. And it was just tremendous. The entire experience was absolutely tremendous, and I can't recommend it enough. I mean, it's not, you know, this, I'm not saying it's, you know, Popeye's chicken cheap, but it's not overly expensive for a really an experience you will not forget. So I highly recommend that. Montreal just in general is great. Quebec is great. You know, it's really nice to have a dose of something foreign yet familiar within very easy driving distance. So everybody go check that out and have yourself your own duck in a can. By the way, order, as they advised us, if you go, order one less dish than you think you need, because you will not be able to eat it. It was wonderful. And we paired it with a wonderful wine from the AHR region of Germany, which I've mentioned briefly here, maybe. A very tiny region near the Mosel, which produces Pinot Noir that is just extraordinary. So we did enjoy that. So, yeah, it was a great last sort of hurrah before we plunge headlong into the holiday season here at Bangor Wine, and we are indeed doing that. I spent my day setting up some new tasty treats that we've gotten in from, amongst other places, Paris, as well as here in Maine. So every time you guys come in, check it out. There'll be something new, I'm sure.
Excellent.
We're starting to hit South America. So we'll just sort of do an overview and get into a couple things here today and then delve over the next couple weeks deeper. My favorite thing to ask, you know, at this point is which continent is second to Europe in wine production? And everybody always sort of assumes North America, but in fact it is South America. Enormous amount of European immigrants in South America, of course, starting with, of course, the conquistadors, but then later, people running away from varying conflicts, some on either side of said conflicts, but regardless, they ended up there. First, vinifera, right? So, Vitis vinifera, the grapes we like to drink, planted in the 1500s. So it's, you know, centuries old viticultural traditions. And of course, even before that, there were certainly alcoholic traditions amongst the natives there. But it was definitely the arrival, as it so often is, of white people who like their grapes. Most of the wine there, however, despite it being an enormous producer, is drunk in whatever country of origin concerned. The only serious export, which started with Chile in really the mid-90s, late-90s into the 2000s, that was really the only serious exporter for a while, and of course now we're seeing a ton of Argentine wines and some out of Uruguay, etc. But really, that's very new, despite their long, long history of making wine. Speaking of Chile, we can sort of start there, and then we'll get into Argentina next week. Chile, like California a couple weeks ago, just an incredible breadth of vineyard land available. It stretches up the coastline of South America, of course, from the southwestern coast, much of it having what they call the coastal range, which is, you know, helps sort of moderate the rainfall. And then further in, you've got the Andes. So again, just tremendous variety in not just viticulture, but agricultural opportunities. Fertile soil, beautiful weather, really the only non-ideal thing is irrigation problems, but as I note in my notes here, those have been solved ever since the time of the Incas by creating waterways and canals to take runoff from the Andean snows. So there are solutions to things like that. The primary climactic driver is something called the Humboldt Current, which sweeps up the coastline and goes all the way, obviously, up towards California. But that is the predominant sort of wind climate driver. And you've got three distinct zones in terms of your viticultural scene. You've got the coast, and then you've got the Central Valley, which itself is sort of divided up into three zones, and then you've got the Andes. And down, you know, sweeping into, you know, Patagonia, you have wine growing in all sorts of nooks and crannies down there as well. The other obvious advantage in Chile, no phylloxera. So you can do all sorts of plantings on original rootstock, which is really, really cool. As I mentioned, extreme plantings are kind of the thing. Lots of foreign investment driving people into, as I said, the nooks and crannies of all these mountainous regions to find little valleys here and there that are just absolutely exceptional. You know, obviously, this is very new. Don't come, you know, into the store hoping that I have a vast selection of these really wacky wines. I don't, but you are starting to see them, which is really cool. And speaking of not particularly wacky, but sort of something that people really haven't had, you are starting to see a lot of wines made out of the grape Pais, P-A-I-S, Pais, which is thought to be sort of the original main grape of this region. You do see it in other places as well, like Argentina, but there it's crossbred with the grape Torontes. So in Chile, it's really sort of thought to be the original grape that was originally brought, they think, from the Canary Islands by conquistadors. And it's a very sort of dark-toned, almost wild, feral sort of smell sometimes, kind of like if Pinot Noir developed an attitude and started wearing leather jackets and got, like, you know, a tattoo. But it's really interesting, and you're starting to see a lot of cool versions of it. Occasionally, not a lot comes out, but when we do get some, it's definitely worth trying. And then, of course, after the 1800 phylloxera problems in Europe, we had a lot of French immigrants, things like that, who brought Bordelaise clippings, so your Merlot, your Cab, and most famous-ish is Carmenere, which is thought to be the lost grape of Bordeaux. It was thought to be Merlot originally, But then they did some genetic testing and realized that it's not. Sometimes has a very sort of a strong green bell pepper aroma, along with sort of dark, chewy fruit. Depending on how they trim the canopy, that is the leaves and stuff, it can have less bell pepper aroma, which I tend to prefer because sometimes it gets a little over much. But that's sort of your rundown on Chile. And as I said, next week we'll get into Argentina and things like that. But in the meantime, yeah, come on in, check out all the new stuff that's slowly filtering in for our holiday season. And I look forward to seeing you all in the store. And go listen to some Depeche Mode. It'll put you in a good mood.
Hey, there you go. Thanks, Eric. Have a good week.
Right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
That's Eric Mann, Bangor Wine and Cheese Company. Message in the Bottle every Tuesday afternoon here on Downtown.